Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Kate for bringing Michael's story to my attention. I'm always grateful when I get suggestions for stories that are underreported from minority communities. Michael was an Indigenous Australian boy whose mother wasn't given the resources and support that may be allowed to others. A mother that thought she was making the right decision by her son by giving him to family friends, only for tragic consequences. July 2012. Alice Springs, Northern Territory, Australia. A teenage mother left her baby in the care of trusted family friends, only to tragically be found dead 6 weeks later. Their family friend saying the death was an accident after the baby fell from a change table. But what the evidence would show was far more sinister. This is Michael's story. Michael Paul Keith Smedley was born February 8, 2012, in Alice Springs, Northern Territory, to teen mother Taylor Smedley. It is unclear who Michael's father was, the man named in the birth certificate. After Michael's death, DNA testing was done, and it was determined that this man was not Michael's father. Regardless, according to the hospital notes, Michael was a healthy, chubby, and happy baby boy. Taylor was only 16 and she was homeless, living in her car. She was kicked out of her parents' home when she became pregnant. Now, parenting is a challenge at the best of times. But add on to that being a teenager, being homeless, not having any means of supporting yourself, let alone a newborn baby. Parenting successfully would have been almost impossible. And Taylor did not want to see her son end up being another statistic, another child of the foster care system. When Michael was about 4 months old, Taylor gave over custody of her son to a family friend, Tamara Cole, her boyfriend, Oliver Dayton, and Tamara's two children, a 12-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. And Taylor believed she was making the best decision for Michael. Both Tamara and Dayton had well-paying jobs. They had stable housing, and they enrolled Michael in a popular daycare in the area 5 days a week, so he could socialise with other infants. And Michael was thriving in his environment. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
July 26, 2012, 6 a.m. As what was a normal routine on a weekday, Tamara woke Michael and gave him his morning bottle of formula. Now, normally she would take Michael with her at this point and drop him off at daycare, but Michael seemed unusually sleepy, so instead she put him back to sleep in his crib, before leaving at 7:30 a.m. to pick up Dayton from work. He had just finished night shift. Her 12-year-old son in charge of keeping an ear out for the baby if he happened to stir. But Michael continued to sleep, and when Tamara and Dayton returned home, she woke the baby and placed him in his walker in the living room. Now, because the normal routine went a little haywire, Tamara was now running late. But she had planned on coming home during her morning break and picking up Michael for daycare. So at 9:20 a.m, Tamara left, taking the two older kids to school on the way to work, leaving Michael happily playing in front of Dayton, who was lying on the couch watching television. According to Tamara, 5-month-old Michael was happy and healthy with only a small bruise on his back. Now, as I said, Dayton was lying on the couch with the baby playing in front of him. About an hour later, Michael was showing signs he was again ready for a nap, rubbing his eyes and being generally sooky. Dayton would state he tried to feed the baby some more formula, but he refused, so he just put him in his crib, covering the infant with a blanket. Dayton would later say Michael was unusually quiet, but he didn't think too much of it at the time. Tamara arrived back home just before 11 with the plan of still taking Michael to daycare. Dayton went to get the baby, and all Tamara heard was screaming that Michael was not breathing and wouldn't wake up. Tamara took Michael from Dayton and laid his limp body on the kitchen table, desperately starting CPR while Dayton called 000 emergency services. Paramedics arrived at the home only minutes later and found Michael unconscious, unresponsive, and looking like a quote-unquote rag doll. They continued resuscitation efforts in the ambulance en route to Alice Springs Hospital, where the baby was placed on life support. Tamara told doctors that Michael was perfectly healthy when she left, besides being a little more tired than usual, which she justified with the infant being more active now. He had just started to crawl. Dayton was acting just as confused. Since the adults in Michael's life weren't giving any useful information, doctors gave him a CT scan, and what they found raised more questions, because what they found was that Michael had been shaken vigorously. Michael had pointers for shaken baby syndrome, including hemorrhages to both eyes and cerebral swelling. Now, we have talked about shaken baby syndrome before, but shaken baby syndrome occurs because babies and small infants' heads are quite heavy in proportion to the rest of their body. And then when they're shaken, their brain bounces back and forth against the sides of their skull, which can cause brain bleeds. If this happens, it can result in brain damage, blindness, seizures, and death. But that wasn't all doctors saw. Michael had significant bruising and abrasions to his right cheek, left side of his jaw, right shoulder, several bruises on his chest and back, bruises to the sole of his right foot, his left ankle, all in different colours, indicating some were older than others. And they weren't consistent with something Michael would have done to himself. Yes, we know children have accidents. They are still learning how to work their limbs and they fall down and run into things. But let's remember here, Michael was only 5 months old. He couldn't walk. He was literally just learning to crawl, so not very well. It was not possible this baby could have done all of this bruising to himself. Doctors called police and the Department of Children's Services to further investigate their beliefs there was evidence of abuse here. And police wanted to question the last person to be caring for Michael when he was found, and that was Oliver Dayton. And this is when we get the story of what... I'm going to say what happened here, but as we will see, this isn't what actually happened, but a version of events, let's just say. Dayton told police that after Tamara left, Michael did appear tired and he did attempt to feed the baby some formula, but he refused to take it. But before putting the baby to bed, Dayton was going to change his diaper and laid Michael on the change table. Dayton said he had loud music playing, so he almost missed hearing a knock on the front door. Dayton said he turned the music down and went to see who was knocking, leaving Michael alone on the change table. Now, this is important because Tamara would later state during the criminal trial that Dayton disliked loud music. Dayton couldn't explain why the music was that loud that particular morning. Maybe to mask what he was doing to the baby. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Dayton said it was his friend Sean, who he had to give some keys to. But when he returned to Michael, he saw the baby had wriggled to the end of the change table, sliding off head first. Dayton claimed he caught Michael before he hit the floor, but then afterwards he was hiccuping and jolting, which jolting I'm taking as having a seizure. I'm not sure how else to interpret that. But instead of calling for medical assistance, he put Michael to bed in his crib, where he would remain until Tamara arrived home about an hour later. Despite all the best efforts of the doctors involved, they were unable to save Michael's life. The five-month-old was pronounced dead at 4:05 p.m. 2 days later, July 28, 2012, Dr. Eric Donaldson conducted the autopsy, and what he would find was chilling. Michael had a total of 26 bruises and abrasions covering his body. The location of bruises were of particular interest, around his ribs, arms and legs, suggesting rough handling. Michael's cause of death was determined to be due to a traumatic head injury, likely caused by abuse in the form of violent shaking or shaken baby syndrome. Now, shaken baby syndrome generally happens when the caregiver gets frustrated or angry when a baby is crying for a period of time. Because that's what babies do. That's their only form of communication. So let's just say a person who is not normally the primary caregiver is left with a baby. He's come off night shift and is already tired but now has to care for a baby. This baby is potentially already injured and is crying. Crying a lot. It is not a stretch that this person, who may or may not have taken their anger out on this baby, would pick him up and shake him. But what was most alarming, Michael also had anal injuries, blood being found in his diaper at the hospital. The autopsy does refer to 7 sperm heads being identified from a swab taken, all evidence of sexual abuse. However, at that time, Alice Springs Hospital didn't have a laboratory with sensitive or powerful enough forensics to establish a DNA profile from the swab. And by the time the swabs were tested by a laboratory interstate, the sample had degraded and there was no longer significant DNA to produce a profile, rendering it useless in naming a suspect. Police obviously wanted to speak to Oliver Dayton again, and he would say he had no idea how the baby became to be covered in bruises, and that there was no way he would ever assault Michael like that. After this point, Dayton stopped answering questions put to him, saying his responses may incriminate him. Neighbours of the family were questioned to provide a glimpse into their lives. Tamara Cole was described as a loving and attentive mother, but when asked about Dayton and Tamara's relationship, the answers varied, some recalling hearing arguments, while others mentioned Dayton's impatience with Michael's cries. One neighbour claimed to have heard thumping sounds the morning of Michael's death. The more investigators learned, the more doubt was being casted on Dayton's story. Police spoke to Sean, the friend that was at the house that day, and he would tell police he went to pick up the keys around 9:45 a.m. There were no answers to the knocks. Sean walked around to the window where the music seemed to be coming from and he knocked there, then back to the front door before knocking for a third time. That's when Dayton answered the door and gave Sean the keys. Sean said he didn't see nor hear Michael at all, assuming the baby was sleeping. Weeks after Michael's death, a friend of Tamara, referred to as Kelly in the court documents, Kelly told Tamara that on the day Michael died, Dayton told her he was worried about the police questioning him about the bruising on the baby. Tamara admitting that she asked her partner what exactly happened and that she would protect him. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, Be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
Police were certain Dayton had abused the baby and that he was responsible for Michael's death. But they didn't have enough evidence to make an arrest. This was further complicated due to the medical experts having differing opinions on the cause of death. As I mentioned earlier, the medical examiner who performed the autopsy, Dr. Eric Donaldson, he theorised Michael died due to trauma likely caused by abuse, possibly in the form of violent shaking. But then, a biomedical and structural engineer offered another opinion that was in support of Dayton's version of events, stating the brain injury may have happened when Michael was caught as he slipped off the change table, and a forensic expert would agree. Also stating the anal injuries to Michael may be the result of natural bodily changes occurring after death. Doesn't exactly explain the sperm found, but I digress. Now in Australia, if a case cannot come to a determination what's happened, whether it be accidental death, foul play, etc., it may be referred to the coroner for an inquest. This happens most often with missing persons cases, when it's a long-term missing persons case. And inquests can be incredible at reviewing a case with fresh eyes. Witnesses are re-interviewed and evidence re-examined. There are occasions where inquests have led to the person or persons responsible being charged and sentenced. And this is exactly what happened in Michael's inquest. The inquest was held December 2016. During his questioning, the forensic expert changed his mind and said the baby's injuries were quote-unquote sinister, and that the fall and catch scenario couldn't have caused the injuries. That even if Michael had actually hit the floor, he still wouldn't have sustained the injuries that led to his death. Ultimately, the coroner determined that criminal offences may have been committed in connection with five-month-old Michael Smedley's death, and the case was referred back to police for investigation. Thanks to the tireless work of investigators involved who never gave up in finding justice for little Michael, April 2018, Oliver Dayton was charged with manslaughter and sexual intercourse without consent. And in September 2019, Dayton was sentenced to 4.5 to 9 years imprisonment for manslaughter, being acquitted on the charges of unlawful sexual intercourse. Michael's mother Taylor said she felt pure relief that her son could now fully rest in peace, but no amount of prison time would make up for what she had gone through. Dayton's partner, Tamara Cole, gave a victim impact statement before sentencing, expressing her grief. Quote, "If I'd said no to Taylor, Michael would still be alive. I live with that every day." Unquote. Taylor would go on to have two daughters, but she would say that nothing would replace her son. Quote, "I'd do anything in the world to bring him back so they could know him, but there's nothing I can do." Unquote. Now, this is the time in the episode where I would normally talk about the kind of child the victim was, so I can end on what is the most important aspect here about every story, and that's the life of the child. Except in this story, I really can't. Michael was only 5 months old and hadn't yet fully developed a personality and able to vocalise what he liked and didn't like. All I could find was a statement from Taylor during the trial where she lovingly remembered her son as a happy baby. Quote, "He always smiled, he always loved. There wasn't really a sour bone in his body." Unquote. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
Stay.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.